Hello and welcome to CCRN's In a Spotlight series, where we take a closer look at student research in community conservation. Today I'm speaking to Furqan Asif, a PhD candidate in international development at the University of Ottawa, Canada. He is supervised by CCRN affiliate Melissa Merchok and is currently in the midst of writing his dissertation after having spent 18 months in Cambodia conducting fieldwork. His research looks at migration, well-being, and resilience in Cambodian coastal fishing communities. Thank you for joining us today, Furqan.
Thank you for having me, Amy.
Tell me, what was the topic that you addressed in your thesis?
So the topic centered around coastal fishing communities, and these communities are present in many parts of Southeast Asia, and so I chose to focus on Cambodia. But in general, in the Cambodian context, there's a lot of different aspects that are affecting these communities. So on the social side of things, there's been a recent trend of migration by people, not by the fish, which is a common sort of clarification I have to make. So the people who are leaving these coastal communities, largely to pursue other economic opportunities. So that's affecting, the people who leave, for example, are women in some cases. So that's affecting like how the cultural gender norms have been, where typically women have not left or don't leave usually. And then ecologically, there's aspects of environmental degradation and overexploitation of fish stocks. And then environmental change, such as sand mining, that's been affecting species abundance and diversity. So that's put a strain on livelihoods and made things more difficult for these communities. So those are two areas that are the different dynamics. And so these trends are actually particularly important for Cambodia because one FAO estimate says that Cambodia has the highest fish consumption in the region. And so that's why I chose to look at the, coastal Cambodia, to look at the influence that social ecological change is having, given these shifts, both in terms of economic landscapes and rapid economic growth in Cambodia, and then along with that, a decline in natural resources, and then environmental change affecting that. So in a nutshell, my research is looking to understand the role that migration plays as a livelihood strategy in Cambodian fishing communities. And then from like the PhD side of things, the conceptual element is I'm looking at how migration affects social well-being of fishers and their households. And looking at whether a well-being analysis of migration can contribute to a better understanding of the social side of things in the whole concept of social ecological resilience.
And what led you to become interested in this field?
Well, my interest is a bit of a storied history. I would say it goes back to 10 years ago when I was introduced to interdisciplinary work. So I started my undergrad in sciences, and so I did a minor in environmental science, and then my master's degree was also in the same area. And so environmental science, for those who don't know, it involves a variety of disciplines, such as environmental chemistry, earth science, environmental risk, etc. So it allowed me to get a very comprehensive understanding of environmental challenges while also understanding large-scale environmental processes. So as a result of that specialization, I eventually kind of found my niche in applying what I had learned in the context of international development while working in the Canadian government, and then later internationally in the Philippines, and then most recently with the United Nations. So over those years, I developed an understanding on the environmental side of things, but I also wanted to get some kind of something similar within international development, because so like I had become a practitioner within international development, but I didn't quite know things from the academic side of things. So I chose to pursue my PhD in that field. So similar to environmental science, the field of international development also involves a variety of disciplines. So for example, international relations theory, economics, political science, anthropology, etc. So I found international development to be a very natural fit. And so as I was developing my doctoral research proposal, I became really interested in this area called social and ecological systems, which emphasize the importance of looking at social and ecological systems as interconnected, and that in order to get a holistic understanding, you have to look at both, which makes sense. And it was kind of intuitive to me as well. And so the concept of bridged natural sciences and social sciences, and so on a pedagogical and epistemological level, it was something that I was like looking to do. So I found myself strongly attracted to it. And later on, I was introduced to the concept of resilience by my supervisor, which is linked to the literature on social ecological systems. And then that basically became the launch pad. Conceptual launchpad for my doctoral thesis.
What excites you about the work that you've done for your thesis so far?
Well, what's exciting about the work is that there's been significant change, like I mentioned, in coastal Cambodia, like even in the last 5 to 10 years, particularly with the opening up of the special economic zone near the Thai border. So that's drawn thousands of Cambodians from different provinces, and many of them also from coastal fishing villages. So that represents like a major shift in the socioeconomic landscape in this part of Cambodia, which itself is set among a backdrop of ecological change, so a decline in fish and overall negative impacts that the environmental change has had on marine resources. And so, given the fact that so many Cambodians rely on fishing or fish in general, understanding the effect these changes will have and are having on small-scale coastal fishing communities, therefore becomes pretty important.
Did you run into any difficulties during your studies? And if so, how did you address them?
Of course, yeah, I ran into several difficulties, as one does in the course of doing field work. And so one of the challenges that I had was actually something completely unexpected and took me by surprise, which was that my research assistant abruptly quit about 2 months after the start of my field work, which was a bit of a bummer because I was starting to pick up steam. And so it's completely unexpected, and needless to say, obviously it put a halt on interviews and any field visits. Because for context for the listeners, I don't know Khmer, the local language in Cambodia. So without a translator, I was pretty useless. So it was a bit of a stressful moment. I had to address that and sort of switch gears. So I managed to address it by focusing on using my network and social media, and I put out a call for another research assistant. So after about a month of soliciting and waiting, I managed to find someone else who turned out to be, thankfully, very reliable and efficient. And he was quite good. The other difficulty I had was on finding a boat driver to take us to the fishing communities, which were on these mangrove enclosed islands. So they're about a 40-minute journey over the ocean. And so we had no prior contacts or connections. So my research assistant and I went to the small port where we knew that boats would be arriving from the islands, and we inquired there to get advice. And then from that, we were able to get a few phone numbers and get a someone so that could take us by a boat. And then later on, we were in a similar situation where like our previous guy wasn't available. So my assistant had the idea of going to like a nearby fishing village in the town and basically cold calling, but in person. So just knocking at houses to find someone, because we were getting kind of highballed by other people by phone, because they would be charging us like $60 for 1 day. And my assistant got very mad because he's like, "Don't try to rip us off." And so, I mean, that challenge was addressed mostly to the credit of my research assistant. So we had to get pretty creative.
I'm glad it ended up all working out. Tell me, how does your research affect the community that you worked with, or how do you think it will affect them?
Yeah, so question that's pondered by a lot of graduate students, and it's like a difficult one to answer, not only because it's a common question and it's something that is thought about by graduate students, but I even was asked this question by the communities that I work with, and that's a very interesting moment for you as a novice researcher, being asked by the people you're working with how it's going to benefit them. So on the one hand, it's difficult to have a concrete answer like while you're doing the field work, because you're still discovering and you still have to establish links and findings and insights. So when the community members would ask me, I would say, well, I don't really know yet. That's kind of the an honest answer. On the other hand, the nature of the research and how it's connected to the everyday realities of the community that you're working with will determine how they will be affected by it. So in my case, what I can say is that I hope that my research gets in the right hands and draws the spotlight on these communities which have been overlooked, in terms of coastal fishing being sort of the more marginal fisheries compared to freshwater fishing, which is the dominant industry in Cambodia. And so I hope that some spotlight is shed on these communities, and so that they aren't overlooked, and the fact that the challenges that they face to their livelihoods and things like that are sort of brought to the fore. And to this end, I have like an active dissemination strategy, or at least I'm sort of like angling myself so that I can have this research not just sit on a shelf or a hard drive somewhere, collecting virtual dust, I guess. So I hope that like having a dissemination strategy so that more resources and attention could be paid to coastal communities, either with government resources or other organizations working in those areas.
How do you think that your research will contribute to your field?
So I think that I'll contribute on two fronts, on the theoretical and practical. So until recently, like work around resilience as a concept in terms of academics has been mostly on towards ecological. And the social aspects of it were have been underaddressed or have been had. It's been difficult to address the social side of things. So my research, using a mix of qualitative methods, and it sort of draws on social well-being as a way to understand resilience. And so I'm looking to contribute to understanding social resilience for small-scale coastal fishing communities in Cambodia. So that's the sort of theoretical side of things. On the practical front, my research is looking to get a better understanding of the role migration plays as a livelihood strategy in Cambodian fishing communities, because that's not well known, and it's something that's a bit more recent. And so, and how that migration of as a livelihood strategy, how that plays into effects on social well-being. So that's related to areas of sort of overall life satisfaction in a nutshell. So that's sort of on the practical front.
And finally, what do you think are the next steps for learning more about the topics you are addressing in your thesis?
So for the readers and listeners out there who are interested in learning more about coastal fishing communities in Cambodia in general, because that's sort of the larger context of my field work, I would highly recommend my supervisor's book. It's called Life, Fish, and Mangroves, and you can read that in the link that would be provided on your website. So readers, listeners can check it out, because it gives a very good history of different aspects with related to coastal resource management, and anyone who's interested in natural resource management and livelihoods would be particularly interested in that, I think.
Thank you for Ken for sharing your research with us today. It's been fascinating.
Thank you for having me.
To learn more about Furkan's work in community conservation, visit our website, communityconservation.net.